It's more so just that innovator stage where it's like, oh, it's cool. I got the money. I'll go ahead and do it. What's 60 grand to me? Sometimes it's the opposite and people are actually like predatorily taken advantage of, where it says, hey, you're not signing anything. This is just a contingency agreement that says that we're allowed to come out and take a look at your house. And then the customer finds out that unfortunately they're past the right of rescission and they signed up for a loan that they didn't know that they signed up for.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Living in Denver podcast. And I am super excited today to introduce our guest, Donovan Kinzer with Save Our Solar. It's a hot button issue. I'm really hoping we're going to get a lot of questions answered here. He knows the challenges facing the industry on a bigger picture. He knows the maintenance side really well, which isn't what a lot of people talk about. And I'm just super stoked to talk to a pro. Welcome, Donovan. How are you doing today?
I'm doing amazing, man. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
Yeah, you bet, man. So there's a lot of misinformation out there. We all hear a lot of stuff. I know you're a pro, ins and outs of all sides of the industry, but let's start with kind of your story, your background a little bit. Like, how'd you get into this business? And yeah, just feel free to start wherever you want to start.
Sure. I mean, I like to bring up that I was born and raised in Pueblo, West Colorado. Pueblo kind of gets a bad rap here in the Colorado state. And so unfortunately, it's kind of known as the gangster's paradise by the New York Times. They actually coined that in the New York Times at some point, that they actually said that Pueblo, Colorado is the gangster's paradise. How crazy is that?
Oh, geez.
If you've ever been to Pueblo, it's a town full of senior citizens. So it's the reason why it's called that is because it's easy to go in there and prey on the elderly. And unfortunately, that's what we see often in solar. And so I come from an area where a lot of my family are farmers. And so typically farmers were taken advantage of quite frequently, as you know, especially back during the old oil boom. Farmers were taken advantage of a lot. And so a lot of my family are up in Nebraska. We'd grow a lot of corn, and corn's a huge commodity, obviously. And so I saw that my family was being taken advantage of, and I saw that the people around me in Pueblo were being taken advantage of in a multitude of different ways. And so I grew up with that, kind of seeing that from the surface of what it was and always wanting to be the more ethical person in the room, right? I just didn't like that older people were being taken advantage of. Me, myself, when I was about 19, 20 years old, I ended up becoming a non-certified CNA. And so I was able to basically do everything that a nurse was able to do and actually have like nurse qualified RN trainings, but I just actually didn't have the ability to go to school and pay for it. So I was actually taking care of the elderly for quite a period of time, took care of over 250 residents on four floors and just worked my fingers to the bone. Like absolutely worked my butt off, making 18, 19 bucks an hour, didn't really make a whole lot of cash. Eventually wanted to step into sales. And before that, I had owned a company in property inspections. So not to be all over the place, but when I eventually graduated from Swallows Charter Academy early at 16 years old, I stepped into business right after that through my fiance's mom at the time, who taught me how to start my first LLC. And that was property inspection surveillance. So we would go out with JP Morgan Chase and Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, or whoever sent us the contract. And we would just go out and inspect the property, either make sure that the homeowner was still there because they were behind on their bills. So inspecting the house to ensure that the property was still being lived in and not abandoned, or if the property was vacant, we would make sure that there were no squatters. And so that was my job for about 3.5 years. I was the owner of that company. And then JP Morgan Chase got sued for about $2.5 billion for evicting people out of their homes too soon. And so they basically wrote us an email and said, hey guys, we're no longer going to send you any work. And that's when my business folded.
Yeah, as business owners, man, we always usually have interesting backstories that lead to where we currently are today. So your current business on Save Our Solar, right? We all know installation companies and we know they come and go. Like I've heard horror stories like you can't get a hold of somebody a couple years later because it's a different name now, same installer, different frontman company, all that stuff. And I know there's just a lack of understanding of the industry in general, but your focus, your business, like what's your primary focus in your business?
So our primary focus with Save Our Solar is operation and maintenance. And the reason why is I've been in solar now for 6 years. And like you said, when I was working with these installers, I had the experience from all sides of the business. And so when I started stepping into management and started working with installers and starting to look at the process of the operational side of the business, the install, I saw that there was an elephant in the room and nobody wanted to address it. Everybody knew it was there. Everybody saw it in the room. It's hard to not see an elephant in a room. It's very difficult to not pay attention to that, at least being able to see it. And so when I saw it, it was very, very obvious. It was a dumpster fire that was burning very red hot and it was near. And nobody really wanted to address it again. And so I was like, interesting. I see these installers who I'm selling a lot of projects for, who I'm putting $3, $4, $5 million in business through. And then all of a sudden, they're not able to procure the materials and get the jobs installed. Why? So I started asking questions. And so in 2019, my team and I, we did $5.5 million in Lakewood, Colorado in solar, and we did it in 6 months. And it was during the winter time. We were literally knocking doors with hot hands in our pockets, like literally snowing. And homeowners are like, what are you doing out here in the blizzard? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the reason why is because a lot of us, we weren't getting paid what we needed to get paid. A lot of us, when we did get paid, we weren't collecting very much cash, and it was usually delayed payment. And so that was another thing that was very intriguing to me. I was like, why isn't the money moving the way that it should, right? So I started asking more questions. And mm-hmm. so the more questions I asked, the more that I understood about the industry. And I realized that, number one, the operations side was very, very convoluted in regards to who was actually performing it. You got people out here that own companies that came from alarms or pest control or Kirby or Cutco or what have you, and they don't really understand solar, let alone electrical. And so when it came to them actually owning their own companies, the cash flow management side of the business, which is always very difficult with small businesses, the cash flow management side was, number one, the biggest issue, because they didn't understand how the clawback system worked and like how finance companies were set up. They didn't actually read the terms and conditions. And so unfortunately, if they didn't install at a certain timeline, they weren't actually able to collect on the money. And if they didn't reach what's called permission to operate through the utility company, they would actually have all of the money clawed back, including the money for the materials, money for the commissions, money for the labor, money for everything that they put out, which was about 70% of the money. And so I once thought everybody was the Jesse James in solar. Come to find out, people really, unfortunately, just were just ignorant to what was going on.
So, all right. So there's a lot to unpack there, but tell me from layman's terms, right? I know business in general, small businesses, right? Roofers, it's very similar. You get someone knocking on your door. Hey, let us go check out your roof. And then it's a different roofing company coming out to install it. But what is like the process of what most people go through in getting a system installed? Like the guy knocking on your door, is he the same guy that is part of the install company or the sales company? Is there financing differences? Like how is it all packaged together to have a product for most people?
Yeah, I think that's where a lot of customers get confused when they want to go solar. Like people that actually genuinely are interested, they're like, there's like 9 different companies that are associated with this one deal, right? Hmm. They're like, who's who, right? And so sometimes I will tell you that our company is what's called vertically integrated. And so we are the door guys. We are the install guys. We are the ones that hold the GC, the EC, the general liability, the workman's comp, all of it. So we're called vertically integrated in our company. Most companies are not.
Interesting. Okay. So how many for your typical install, like how many different companies? I mean, you said 9, like, is that a joke? Is that an exaggeration or no, that's legitimate?
Yeah. I mean, you got sometimes you got a door-to-door company that is not associated with the sales organization. Okay. So if the sales organization doesn't know how to generate their own leads, they may call in my team to generate leads for them through our door-to-door efforts.
Okay.
Okay, so you have the door-to-door team, you have the sales organization, and then sometimes you have a middleman, which is called an EPC. Oftentimes, this is mistaken for the installer. So okay. They'll say they hold the electrical contractor's license, they'll say that they hold the general contractor's license, and sometimes they do, but oftentimes they're not actually the ones that are sending out their crew to go install it. So then you have the install side, and then you have the finance side, and then you have the procurement side. So when I say 9 mm-hmm. companies, I'm not lying.
Wow. Okay. And so I know in small businesses, even having a team of 3 different people, stuff gets lost in communication. I can't imagine the different things that are being said because the sales guy wants to get the sale, right? The install crew is probably yelling at the, you know, team who hired them because we can't do it this way because it's this type of roof. Like, what are you telling customers? Like, I can't imagine the problems that come up during this, but so on a bigger topic though, like what is the market like in Colorado? Like I know I've sold a handful of houses with solar systems and I've gotten everything from lease systems to systems that are owned outright that are older that, you know, some of them that have loans on them, but like what is the overall market size in Colorado? Do you know, is it different for Denver than it is the mountains? Like how many homes have solar? Like how many solar systems are getting installed on a daily, yearly basis? Like how much have we grown? Like overview of the entire market give it to me if you got it.
Yeah, I've been in solar now for 6 years here in Colorado specifically, so I'm the guy to ask for that. Solar is very difficult in Colorado. Number one, the market is difficult because the sales rep can't make as much in Colorado as they can in other markets. So our systems in Colorado are about the half the size of other markets like Florida or Texas, for example. So reason why is we just don't really use our AC as much in Colorado as you would in Texas or Florida. Gotcha. And also our houses are relatively newer. And so the degradation on like the siding, the windows, the doors, the things like that. Our houses are actually a lot more energy efficient here in Colorado. People actually pay attention to that quite a bit since the ownership of houses in Colorado is about 67%. And so with these older systems, the majority of solar was sold back in like basically like 2000 to 2016. That's when the industry was really doing well in Colorado. We actually had what's called a solar credit for actually having solar on your roof. So people would get paid for having solar on their roof.
Gotcha. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then how many systems like Denver Metro wide, is there a rough number that you know that are getting installed like on a yearly-ish basis or anything?
That number I don't know as of current. I will say that with a lot of the installers here in Colorado, like you mentioned, a lot of them are going out of business. So really there's only about like four of us that are really here that are popular. There was like one down in Pueblo, Colorado that's called Steel City Solar. Shout out to those guys. They've been in business for a long time. They've got solar figured out in the southern portion of Colorado. So if you're in Pueblo, I highly recommend Steel City for sure. So Pueblo, Pueblo West, Alamosa, Grand Junction, they cover a big majority of the area. They actually work directly with San Isabel Electric. They're actually an affiliate of theirs. And so they work closely with Jack, who's in charge of San Isabel Electric. And so fantastic company.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Then I will say there's two or three maybe other national companies that are here. And some of them use subcontractors. So they're like companies like myself. And others use their own in-house guys, and those are very few and far between. Like I said, we're one of them. And then you have Glide Solar. Glide Solar is another fantastic company up here. My friend Brandon owns the company, and they've been in business for maybe like 4 or 5 years or so. But they're probably one of the more dominant companies here in the Denver area. They install a ton of solar. So they do a lot of new solar as opposed to our company. We come and fix old solar. So like what you're saying, we help customers with litigation issues. We help them with getting permission to operate with utility. We help them with repairing their solar. We help them with insurance claims, those things.
Okay. So question. You just said something I've never thought of before. So I think of maintenance on solar systems. I think something broke. You fixed it, right? Something's wrong with the roof underneath it, the supports, the wiring, the battery system, whatever it may be. But the first two things you said had nothing to do with the actual system. What the heck are you talking about? So litigation and questions on their loans. So, all right, unpack that for me. What do you guys do there?
Yeah, so Good Leap is actually one of the solar financiers that I would stand behind. They're very reputable. They do a lot of work overseas for nonprofit efforts. And so Good Leap, they actually take a portion of their proceeds and they help out other people that are in need. And so I feel really good about like pushing volume through them in regards to solar maintenance, et cetera, because of who they are. Other financing companies, unfortunately, they're selling predatory loans. So there's actually a mayor. I think she's a mayor. I'm pretty sure she may be a governor. I don't remember which. I'll have to do some research on that. It was something that got brought up to me the other day. But she's actually sending out a civil suit in regards to several different solar financiers for predatory loan practices. And so it's a conversation to be had, number one, with companies that go out of business. It's kind of like, you know, how do you take blood out of a turnip when you're having that conversation in regards to a company that filed Chapter 11? It's a different story when it comes down to actually like a legit financing company, right? There's a couple different things in place to protect the consumer on that side. It's a big issue right now. Solar in general is very much a baby in regards to the industry. In America entirely, it's about 20 years old.
I was going to say, I was wondering how old the industry actually is, because I've seen some old systems, right, that are still in place. I was wondering that. And so with our location, right, you think Colorado, you think California, you think Arizona, like, hey, sunny places must attract solar. With as many sunny days as we have a year, like, do we run systems more efficiently than other states? Is that just the total farce and like you're good anywhere throughout the country? Like, how much better are systems than other places in the country, or are they not?
Well, there's only about 30-ish states that you can actually like take advantage of solar in. The other states are non-solar friendly. And so that's either predicated on the state itself, the city that they're in, the municipality that they're in, or even just the utility. Sometimes the utility doesn't want them to come in and get solar because that's taking money away from the utility. And so Colorado is a very friendly state in regards to solar. The problem with the solar installs here in Colorado is the utility, unfortunately. The utility takes a long time to turn the systems on. Otherwise, the state itself, the actual state of Colorado, is very friendly in regards to solar. In some areas like Fort Collins, there's actually like a city incentive to go solar. And so they empower you to do so. And I will say those credits take a little bit of time to get as well. So that is difficult on the other side of that. But yeah, Colorado is a very friendly state. I wouldn't say solar is more efficient necessarily, but it does work very well here. We have a very friendly program, which is referred to as 1-to-1 net metering. And so what that means is for every kilowatt hour that your system, your solar system generates, Xcel or whoever your utility provider is, because the majority of Colorado has this, whoever your utility provider is, they will actually give you a 1-to-1 credit. So whatever you use in your house during the nighttime, as far as energy, they will credit that offset due to your solar panels.
Gotcha. Okay. Cause I've heard, I've got a buddy lives in San Diego, has solar system, Tesla battery walls, stuff like that. And he's got multiple Teslas. And he's like, great. We suck up power, you know, at night to recharge our batteries. And then we, you know, dump that into our vehicles during the day and it costs us X amount less. Like I had no idea that was even a thing that, you know, energy charges at different rates based on different times of the day. Do you see a lot of those battery systems here in Colorado? Are they on their way here? Like, I can't actually say I've seen one in person.
No. So batteries are kind of that rich man thing right now where batteries are very expensive. It's kind of like getting the iPhone while cell phones were a thing, right? Like solar is starting to become a little bit more well known in regards to the cell phone, but the iPhone is really like a very specific consumer niche, right?
Gotcha.
Where it's like you have to have a certain amount of money, you have to be a certain kind of client, et cetera, et cetera. You're probably good with your flip phone in 2007, right? This is kind of where we're at right now is like solar entirely is about 3.5% adoption nationally in certain states like California, Nevada, Arizona, Florida-ish, Texas-ish. It's starting to come around. But for the majority, California, Nevada, Arizona, they're at about like 12 to 13% adoption. So they're the majority of the nation. New Jersey, New York also, but they're the majority of the nation, right? Everywhere else, it's less than 2%.
Yeah.
So batteries are very new. They're very expensive. The Tesla solar batteries, especially, you're looking at $13,000 to $15,000 per battery, and you usually need one or two or three of them. So they're pricey, especially out in California. If your usage is a lot heavier, if you have a larger size house, it's very expensive to get these things installed. But like you said, you're now hedging yourself against the utility where if there ever is a rolling brownout or blackout like happens in California, you're protected against that. So you actually still have energy. You're still able to charge your car. You're still able to make sure your groceries don't spoil. And the other thing about that, too, is we're starting to catch California in regards to how expensive our utility is out here. Mm-hmm. So like you said, with time of use, at the peak of time of use, you could be at 25 cents a kilowatt hour. When even like 2 or 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, it was at like 15 cents. So it's almost doubled.
Yeah. And I could imagine, too, with a lot of people going towards electrical vehicles, like all you hear is about the stress that we're putting on our grid. Like as that becomes more of a thing, I could potentially see their cities stepping up. Like what's cheaper to do? Have everybody start to run more of their own power? Or start to run, I don't even know how. Do you run bigger power lines? Like, how do you support the infrastructure to go, you know, further? I haven't the foggiest.
You don't. And so, like, with America, the reason why they're starting to look at other countries, like, not necessarily a country, but Mexico, for example, it's going to be the new pioneer of the Wild Wild West in regards to being able to basically take America and start moving it further south. And this is all speculation. This is stuff that I hear through the grapevine in regards to renewable energy, which I keep my ear very close to the ground. So take it for what it is. But I hear that we're going to start pushing south. And that is very much a barren wasteland in regards to infrastructure. Right. And so I have some friends over in like Ghana, Africa, for example, that are currently putting together with the head engineer of GE. I think I could talk about this now. The head engineer of GE, they're putting together basically this massive melting machine because they have a huge need to be able to get rid of e-waste. So in Ghana, there's like a 5 to 6 mile deep hole that is, I think, 5 to 10 miles wide. And it's literally just filled of e-waste, like just a ton of old VCRs, blenders, you name it. And if it's electrical, it's in there. It's just in a hole, right? It's like a graveyard for electronics. And so they need to figure out what to do with this because it's now starting to cause environmental issues. So the head engineer of GE, he basically was a very smart dude, obviously, put together this big melting machine. They shove all the e-waste into this big machine and they melt it down. And the syngas acts as a renewable energy. So the burn off of the electronics, the syngas, is actually used as a renewable energy that they could continue to use because there's so much e-waste. They could continue to use that. They capture it. They put it back into the grid. They use it for electricity purposes, right? Then the plastic melt off is used for 3D printing buildings. And then they also harvest the gold, platinum, metals, silvers, coppers, all of that from the machine itself. And it's able to sort it. And so it's interesting how the system works. I don't know too much about it, but when I was probably like 18, 19 years old, I was in the room. I don't know why I was in the room, but I was in the room like a fly on the wall, basically listening to these conversations inside of a hedge firm that was trying to raise the funds to be able to do this on a $5 billion acquisition level. And so it was something that I got to take a look at. And that was kind of my first experience in the renewables. But in regards to what you're asking, yeah, batteries are still very new. I mean, it's something people are taking a look at. There's a guy that I have a friend over in Dubai. He is currently working on a chemicalless battery. And so when it comes to like shipping batteries overseas, I won't need the certifications and the training and all of the classroom stuff that we need to be able to receive that battery with like the chemicals, right? We won't need all that anymore. And so that obviously is more affordable, makes a better experience for the customer. The battery is actually a little bit better than the chemical batteries currently. And so it actually is a better solution overall. And so there's that coming.
Fascinating. So, and you touched on it just a bit, at least on the power wall side or the battery side, but for the regular installs, I know I can only speak from my experience. I've seen, you know, systems installed $15,000 to $25,000 range for 7 kilowatt hour systems, which I don't even know specifically what that ish means, but I've sold several houses like that, right? With that paperwork, with loans on them. And then I've seen a few that are really expensive. Like you're talking north of $60,000, $70,000, right? And you're like, what the heck is going on? Like it's prevented people from selling their houses, right? Because the new buyer can't get a loan with interest rates where they've gone. Yeah. These loans or leases, right? Loans are better than the lease because the lease, you never essentially own the system. Where the loans, you can actually just pay it off. But lenders don't want to lend on top of the current house loan which makes something, you know, that things are already expensive, right? Rates are already high in comparison to where they've been, and lenders don't want to do it. So a lot of times the sellers end up having to pay those systems off. How the heck is there a difference? Like, what is the difference between those two types of systems? You smiled there. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Of course I do. So within the Save Our Solar, we are offering the Save Our Solar Club. And so that'll be something a homeowner can come and pay $40 a month. They get an annual inspection and annual cleaning, as well as a courtesy truck roll every year if they need it. So they have a crater chewing on wires. They have a hailstorm happens, anything like that. We can come out. We could take a look at the system. We'll do an infrared camera cell inspection on the cells themselves inside of the solar panel. So the glass may not be broke, but the cells could be broke. So the cells themselves, they can't bend and flex. They're not flexible at all, especially older systems. Okay. They're a little bit more brittle. Right. If you walk across that solar panel, like most installers unfortunately did back then, you create what's called a snail trail. Okay. And so that snail trail unfortunately decreases the production of the system and sometimes makes that system actually obsolete because some systems here in Colorado are on what's called a string inverter system. If one goes out, one panel goes out, they all go out like Christmas lights on a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you walk across one panel and you break that panel and it no longer can receive the production, the connection to the actual string inverter, the production of the panel itself, it doesn't talk to the inverter, right? It's not going to work the entire system. The entire system will be inoperable as you install it.
Gotcha.
Okay. That's the first problem with like the real estate side is that when you have somebody come out to do the inspection, we're the guys that are teaching the people on how to do the inspection. Okay. Yeah. So that's the first problem, that the adjuster themselves or the appraiser or the inspector or the board of authorities that is here in Colorado, they don't really know solar too well yet. And so we actually have to go out there and we have to educate them and coach them. And so when it comes to the appraising side, when you look at the comparables, when you say, hey, this guy has solar and this guy doesn't, neither does really anybody in a 20-mile radius, it's hard to get comparables. So within that Save Our Solar Club program, what we're trying to put together on that side of the business is called a fair market value analysis. So the homeowner can actually come in, log into their portal. They can see when their system was installed. They can see all their service maintenance records. They can see their documents when the system was installed based on the panel type, the inverter type, who installed it, who's touched it last, when it was installed, et cetera, right? They can go and look at that information, but they can also come and see what their fair market value analysis is of their system. So if their system got installed 10 years ago and it's the X, Y, and Z panel with an X, Y, and Z inverter by X, Y, and Z installer, it may or may not be in warranty anymore. That's important to know. It may or may not be able to be operated on again. That's important to know. It may or may not be discontinued in a fire hazard up on a roof. It's important to know, right? And so when it comes down to the actual appraisal, the reason why most like finance companies that are giving out mortgages, reason why that they're not going to bake in the cost of the system is because there's just so many variables. It's hard to understand like what's actually up there. And there's nobody right now that's trained on a national level to be able to say it's worth anything.
Nope, for sure. So then what's the big reason for the variation in prices? Like, is one system really 2 to 3 times better than another system?
No.
Did someone get sold? Is that what it is?
Yeah, the unfortunate reality about most things, especially when they're brand new, is that most people aren't going to have the education that they need to be an educated buyer, right? It's more so just that innovator stage where it's like, oh, it's cool. I got the money. I'll go ahead and do it. What's 60 grand to me? Sometimes it's the opposite, and people are actually like predatorily taken advantage of, where it says, hey, you're not signing anything. This is just a contingency agreement that says that we're allowed to come out and take a look at your house. And then the customer finds out that unfortunately they're past the right of rescission and they signed up for a loan that they didn't know that they signed up for. So there's that as well. You know, those are the two extremes where, like, on one side, you have good guys like me that unfortunately had that experience in the past where we just unfortunately didn't know until we found out. And then you got other people that did know and they're taking advantage of that system.
Yeah, 100%. And you see it. I mean, we see it HVAC world too, right? Where it's like, okay, the system is all 25 years old and hey, we're going to come in and put in a new furnace, but you know, your AC is also 20 years old and so is your, you know, water heater. So why don't we put in a whole system, right? It'll just cost you $140 a month, right? And you can pay that off over a period of 15 years, whatever it is. And then, you know, someone passed away. I had this last year, the seller passed away. The kids now own the property and there's like a $24,000 loan for a furnace, water heater, and AC. And you're going, this is like $8,000 at best. What is going on here? Like, and so, yeah, and of course it often falls to the older clientele, right? That aren't able to look this stuff up as well. But you touched on a point and that's fascinating. So you have a program that is a monthly subscription, right? That you come out and constantly monitor their system, right? What about the one-off, right? Let's say someone is selling their house, right? Let's say someone's buying a house. Like, I've never had a client, you know, on the buy side that has, you know, asked about the solar system or anything like that. Like, what do you guys do to ensure that a system is working right? I'm assuming you have the tools to make sure that things are working correctly, because I'd look at a system and go, hey, there's a bunch of panels here and it's hooked up to wires. I don't know if it works.
Yeah. So like being on the operation and maintenance side, you learn a lot about these systems, especially the older systems. There's a lot of companies that are coming in right now that are trying to be a copycat of us, and they see that the money is there, of course. And so anytime that there's money, people usually run to the fire, right? Yeah. And so the unfortunate reality about what we currently do, though, is that the systems that are installed today are not the systems that were installed 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. They're just not. The racking is different. The panels are different. The inverters are different. All of it. Right.
Yeah.
And so when you look at the system, each system is individually different, but also you have to have the correct tools. And what that means is you have to go out and purchase the expensive tools that are usually $700 a piece. And you have to know what you're looking for. So for example, right now, if I take a panel off of a roof that was installed 10 years ago, I could probably guarantee that it has a recalled photovoltaic connector on the back of it, and there's two per panel. And if you have a 20 panel system, you have 40 potential fire hazards on your roof. Most installers will not even know what a photovoltaic connector is. Reason being is because it is installed with the system, or it is installed rather with the solar panel itself upon the manufacturing process.
Gotcha.
So you have no idea, especially if you haven't been in the industry since 2016, which I haven't. But I talked to people on my board of authorities who they have over 100 years of solar experience between all of them. Like I said, we've actually won lawsuits and lost lawsuits, or not lost lawsuits, but we've won lawsuits and won lawsuits for Tesla and against Tesla. So they've actually lost lawsuits against one of the guys that we have as one of our board of advisors on the Save Our Solar Club program.
Interesting. So then on the maintenance side, it's great to keep up your system, right? In a perfect world, most people would do that with lots of things, right, on our houses, but reality happens. So when someone has an issue, right, they give you a call, let's say, like, what are the most common things that you see that are wrong with solar systems that are here in Colorado?
I would say the photovoltaic connector primarily, just because a lot of the systems that were installed in Colorado previously are the older systems. They, like I said, we were installed, the big boom for solar here in Colorado was Solar City was one of the companies. I'm sure you've heard of them before, right? Every single Solar City system probably has a recalled Amphenol connector on the back of it, and it's posing a fire hazard on their roof. So if you have Solar City up on your roof and it's a solar wool panel, you probably have a fire hazard. And so the majority of our business is insurance work in regards to when a hailstorm comes through. We take the panels off, roofer comes in, they re-roof the roof, and then we reinstall them. And we provide a lifetime warranty on that system after that, regardless if we're the original installer or not.
Gotcha. Okay. And then, of course, you touched on good issue there, the roof underneath solar panels, right? When you have a system installed. Say that again.
That's the second issue. So you say the most common issues that we find, the Amphenol connector is number one. The roof leaking is number two. It's about a 14% failure in regards to penetration nationally.
14%?
14% nationally. So if you're looking at 4 million residential installs, which is about where we're at right now as a nation, which again, isn't very much. You're looking at other countries like Germany. They're at like 69% renewable energy, right?
Holy cow.
Yeah. So we're at 3%. Okay. China's at like 80, right? So you're looking at like 560,000 houses nationally that have a potential leak in the roof.
Holy cow. So where does that, so when they, and maybe this is getting a little nitty gritty, like when you get a new system installed, roof's already on, let's pretend that the roof is just a year old or something. No need to replace the roof underneath. Doesn't make sense. Like, do they just drill straight through the roof shingles or are they supposed to go under? Like, no. Okay. So straight on top and seal around it and hope and pray. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, especially back in the day, like they didn't really know about this, right? Like they didn't really know about like racking systems failing. They didn't really think about it. Just hope that it didn't. Right. I mean, I'm assuming that if I put the lag bolt in and I put sealant around it with a gasket, it's probably not going to leak. Well, maybe, right? Hopefully. And there's a lot of people here too in Colorado where maybe they didn't even put the lag bolt in. Maybe they just glued your racking system to the shingle. And we've seen that as well, where it's like, well, we get 130 mile an hour winds through Colorado and you have literally your entire, you know, 2,500 pound solar system glued to your roof.
Turns into a kite real fast, huh?
Yeah. Imagine if you lived in the Candelas and you had a system glued to your roof. That system would be in your neighbor's yard by next morning, if not that morning.
Holy cow. So when someone's got a system, say they're selling their house, whatever, they want to have it inspected, like what's that process? How long does it take? How much does like a single one-off inspection through you guys cost, right? Because I know when we sell a house now, it's sewer scope, non-negotiable. Most people want a radon test, the general home inspection, right? But with more and more solar coming out, like, and happening, it's going to be more of a thing. But yet I've yet to find a reputable good one until you know, that offers this type of deal. So how much can someone expect for like a one-off inspection when buying a solar system?
$2,000, and that comes with a lifetime warranty for the life of the system.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, we take $1,000 and we put that into what's called a reinsurance policy, kind of like a third party owned insurance policy on like a used vehicle. Yeah. So we take $1,000 and we put that into a reinsurance policy for the customer in the event that they ever need their system worked on. And then the $750 that we use for profit, a portion of that proceed does go to our nonprofit company, which is called Volts for Veterans. And we donate renewable energy to veterans in need here in Colorado. My dad, my family pretty much is all military. So we like to make sure that we take care of our own. And then we also use a portion of that proceed from the operational cost to be able to go and fix the system. And in regards to doing that, we do an 82-point inspection. Most installers don't even know that you can check a system and see 82 points on the system. And so we actually provide that inspection report in regards to like a health report to the customer. That way they can read it, review it, or to the appraiser or whoever is actually purchasing the house. They can actually see what's up there. You know, they could see when it was worked on last. And they can see that it was actually inspected correctly. And we do an infrared cell inspection. So we use an infrared imaging camera to be able to go and check the cells, like I mentioned, as well as an inverter test to make sure the inverter is operational. And then we check the racking to make sure that it's all sound. We can't ensure that there's no leak, but we want to make sure that we're going to check the attic, look for any kind of like mold or any kind of moisture of any sort. And so we check that as well.
Gotcha. Okay. That's awesome. I mean, I could see that. I mean, as we're going to get more solar systems, which, you know, going on that way, do you think we're going the way of, let's say, California, right? California, new build home is built with a solar system. You think we're on that trajectory, huh?
1,000%. I mean, this is a runaway train and you're not stopping it. I mean, we're at like $150 billion valuation in America already. I mean, it's insane. The industry itself is so tiny. We're basically as big as McDonald's. Like if you look at like fast food entirely, mm-hmm. we are only as an industry, solar entirely in the nation, in America, is only as big as McDonald's.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
And we probably actually have less locations than McDonald's, to be fair with you. Like there's probably less installers than there are McDonald's locations.
Yeah, I would bet.
Let me look it up. I bet you. Let's see what Google says. I bet you Google says, let's see. There's probably like 2,000. Maybe Google thinks there's 2,000 installers nationally.
Jeez, that's not a whole ton, is it?
Okay. Let's see. It says. Okay, I was off. There's a lot more than I originally thought. So it says world estimate says 11,000 solar panel installation companies are operating in the United States. So 11,091. How many McDonald's locations do you think there are?
Oh God. I have no idea.
I bet you there's 50,000 easy.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm way off.
How much? I mean, you got to think there's probably off. Like Holy 100 cow. In Denver.
Whoa. So there's 36,500 McDonald's. So there's actually three times more McDonald's locations than there are solar installers nationally.
Yeah.
Wow. Jesus. I didn't know that.
Jesus.
Yeah, there's like 230,000 entirely throughout the nation, 230,000 employed by the solar industry.
Gotcha. But you got to think, I mean, even a lot of those companies probably are one-off people. Maybe they don't operate anymore, you know, completely just like any contractor out there. You can go out and call 100 contractors right now, and maybe you get 5 to 10 calls back. Exactly. You know, because they don't do it anymore. They still got a license, but they don't really do anything. They got their license for a specific reason or a single job, and they no longer, you know, need it, whatever. So I'm sure it's similar there. So when someone is wanting a system, like maybe they're out of Denver here, you know, they're not in your zone. Like what's the biggest pitfalls that you see people fall into when wanting to get a system installed, and how can they avoid it?
Education. That's primarily the one thing. I'm trying to work with the Netflix producers currently to be able to put together like a small little docuseries in regards to the solar industry. I'm considered technically one of the top 100 influencers in solar. And I get invited out to like SolarCon all the time. And yeah. I'm good friends with the owner of the Solar Academy. So we basically talk about this all the time. I would say education is 1,000% the main thing for like everybody. Like in solar, homeowners, real estate agents hate solar. Roofers hate solar. The reason why is because it's so difficult to work with. You know, you had mentioned it. If you happen to purchase the system, it's usually better than having a lease. I partially disagree here and there. The reason why is because if you have a system that's installed by an installer that goes out of business, you're now stuck with a liability that you can't do anything about. And you don't even know who to pay off.
Sure.
Right? Like most times that third party payoff person isn't exactly the person that you signed up with. Right? So like, for example, GoodLeap is not the bank. GoodLeap goes through KeyBank, which is the bank, right? Because KeyBank doesn't want to get involved in solar. So GoodLeap reaches out to KeyBank and works out a deal. That's how that works, right?
Gotcha.
I think GoodLeap's with KeyBank, I'm pretty sure. I could be mistaken on that. But either way, that's how it works. Anyway, so yeah, I would say education is primarily the main concern. A lot of people, they have people that are knocking on their door. They think that they're just another solar guy and they don't really know what questions to ask. I think it's important for homeowners to start asking a lot more questions instead of saying like, I'm not interested, right? Like get educated. And then you have like, if I knock a door out in California, which I did just like maybe like two Januaries ago, we went out there and we did a big blitz for solar out there in West Covina. So West Covina, great area, had a lot of homeowners reach out to us, want solar in the area. We send our guys out, right? The area of West Covina is paying about $1 per kilowatt hour as opposed to Denver is paying 25 cents. So it's a little bit different of an ask, right?
Yeah.
Also in West Covina, when you look at these neighborhoods, everybody has solar, everyone. You go to a California neighborhood in LA, you could throw a rock and you're going to hit a solar panel. Just toss it, you know, you're going to hit a solar panel. And it's going to be on a car. It's going to be on a house. It's going to be on a building. It's going to be somewhere, right? It's going to be leaning against something. There's a ton of solar out there. Okay. It's been very popular there for basically since 99. But in Colorado, we're a lot less educated about solar than the people in California because it's not everywhere.
Yeah.
Right. You throw a rock. You're going to, I mean, you throw a rock at a solar panel. You might miss. Okay. it's a little different here. Right. And so I would say with the homeowners, a lot of them do happen to move from California here. That's an educated populace, right? But at the same time, the people that are here that are naturally born like I am, we have no idea, man. Like even in the solar industry, we have no idea. And a sales rep that I ask, what is a photovoltaic connector? They're like, what is photovoltaic?
Yeah.
A solar panel. Yeah. You know, a PV panel is a photovoltaic solar panel. So it's, you know, but I had a blitz back in 2019 pre-COVID. With my very first sales organization, which failed tremendously. I didn't know what I was doing immediately. But my very first blitz that I did back in 2019, I had about 25 people, I think, show up. And I asked them all to have 2 years of solar experience minimum for me to be able to go out there and teach them what I did know at the time. We brought out a solar panel and they go, that's a solar panel?
Yeah.
Right. So education is very, very important. Like I said, we're only about 20 years old. I'm actually older. I'm 30 now. I just had my birthday 3 days ago. I'm actually older than solar by a decade. You know, like so when it comes to understanding the technology, especially for who's consuming the product, right? You're talking about people that own a home, either 30 to 60 years old. You know, probably not very hip to technology. Not probably a social media user of some sort, right? Maybe not. But you're going to have those conversations with them and they're like, hey, thanks, but no thanks. I know there's a lot of benefit. I know it's going to save me money. I know I can get into a really stellar deal with a really stellar company, but I have no idea who that is or who would even begin to talk to about that. And that's where we're at.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, Donovan, this has been great. If someone wants to reach out to you, questions, concerns, you know, for your club, whatever, what's the best way to reach out to you?
I'm very popular and always on Facebook. That's where actually where you and I met, obviously. Yep. And so I love Facebook and reaching out to homeowners. I'm in a lot of the communities as far as like Colorado specific communities on the groups. But otherwise our website, www.saveoursolarclub.com. Also, you can always email me at sos@saveoursolar.club. And if you don't get a hold of me there, help me at saveoursolar.club. So .club.
Great. And everybody, for our audience, we will have all of Donovan's contact information in the description below. Feel free, reach out with all your solar questions. This has been incredible. Again, thank you, Donovan, so much for shedding so much light onto a lot of these issues. And ladies and gentlemen, until the next time, happy housing.